We'll be able to provide electricity for the whole blinking country. Maybe for Colombia, Peru, parts of Brazil, the whole blasted northwestern block of South America. If what works? She asked. Tapping the ionosphere, he answered. Gesturing with both hands as he spoke, he shouted. Enormous electrical energy up there, megawatts per cubic meter. At first, we worried that the tower would be like a big lightning rod, conducting down to the ground. Zap! Melt the bedrock, maybe. My God, Lara said. But we insulated the outer shell, so that's not a problem. Before Lara could think of something to say, Mance went on. Then I started thinking about how we might tap some of that energy and use it to power the elevators. Tap the ionosphere? Right. It's replenished by the solar wind. Earth's magnetic field traps solar protons and electrons. That's what causes the northern lights, Lara said, straining to raise her voice above the laboring diesel's growl. Yep. If we work it right, we can generate enough electricity to run the blinking tower and still have enough to sell to users on the ground. We can recoup all the costs of construction by selling electrical power. How much electricity can you generate? She asked. What? He yelled. She repeated her question, louder. He waggled his right hand. Theoretically, the numbers are staggering. Lots of gigawatts. I've got Mitchell working on it. That's a benefit no one thought about, Lara said to herself. The original idea of the Sky Tower was to build an elevator that could lift people and cargo into space cheaply for the cost of the electrical energy it takes to carry them. Pennies per pound instead of the hundreds of dollars per pound that rocket launchings cost. Now Mance is talking about using the tower to generate electricity as well. How wonderful! Then a new thought struck her. Isn't this earthquake territory? She shouted into Mance's ear. His grin didn't fade even as much as a millimeter. He nodded vigorously. You bet! We've had two pretty serious tremors already, Richter 6s. The world's highest active volcano is only a couple hundred kilometers or so from our site. Isn't that dangerous? Not for us. That's one of the reasons we used the banyan tree design. The ground can sway or ripple all it wants to. The tower's not anchored to the ground, just tethered lightly. It won't move much. Lara realized she looked unconvinced because Mance added, Besides, we're not on a fault line, nowhere near one. I got solid geological data before picking the site. The ground's not going to open up beneath us, and even if it did, the tower would just stand there, solid as the Rock of Gibraltar. But if it should fall, all that weight... Mance's smile turned almost smug. It won't fall, honey. It can't. The laws of physics are on our side.
Data bank. Skyhook. Beanstalk. Space elevator. Sky tower. All these names and more had been applied to the idea of building an elevator that can carry people and cargo from the Earth's surface into orbital space. Like many other basic concepts for space transportation, the idea of the Sky Tower originated in the fertile mind of Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, the Russian pioneer who theorized about rocketry and astronautics in relative obscurity around the turn of the 20th century. His idea for a celestial castle that could rise from the equator into orbital space, published in 1895, may have been inspired by the newly built Eiffel Tower in Paris. In 1960, the Russian engineer Yuri Artsutanov revived the concept of the space elevator. 6 years later, an American oceanographer, John Isaacs, became the first outside of Russia to write about the idea. In 1975, Jerome Pearson of the U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory brought the space elevator concept to the attention of the world's scientific community through a more detailed technical paper. The British author, Arthur C. Clarke, popularized the skyhook notion in several of his science fiction novels. Although it sounds outlandish, the basic concept of a space elevator is well within the realm of physical possibility. As Clarke himself originally pointed out, a satellite in geostationary orbit slightly more than 35,000 kilometers above the equator circles the Earth in precisely the same time it takes for the Earth to revolve about its axis. Thus, such a satellite remains constantly above the same spot on the equator. Communication satellites are placed in geostationary Clark orbits so that ground-based antennas may be permanently locked onto them. To build a sky tower, start at geostationary orbit. Drop a line down to the Earth's surface and unreel another line in the opposite direction, another 35,000 kilometers into space. Simple tension will keep both lines in place. Make the lines strong enough to carry freight and passenger elevators. Voila, a skyhook, a beanstalk, a sky tower. However, in the real world of practical engineering, the sky tower concept lacked a suitable construction material. All known materials strong enough to serve were too heavy for the job. The tower would collapse of its own weight. A material with a much better strength-to-weight ratio was needed. Buckyball fibers were the answer. Buckminster fullerene is a molecule of 60 carbon atoms, arranged in a sphere that reminded the chemists who first produced them of a geodesic dome, the type invented by the American designer R. Buckminster Fuller. Quickly dubbed buckyballs, it was found that fibers built of such molecules had the strength-to-weight ratio needed for a practical space elevator, with a considerable margin of error to spare. Where materials such as graphite, alumina, and quartz offered tensile strengths in the order of 20 gigapascals, a unit of measurement for tensile strength, the requirements for a space elevator are more than 60 gigapascals. Buckyball fibers have tensile strengths of more than 100 gigapascals. By the middle of the 21st century, all the basic technical demands of a sky tower could be met. What was needed was the capital and the engineering skill to build such a structure, a tower that rises more than 70,000 kilometers from the equator, an elevator that can carry payloads into space for the price of the electricity used to lift them. Backed by the nation of Ecuador and an international consortium of financiers, Sky Tower Corporation hired Mance Bracknell to head the engineering team that built the Sky Tower a scant 100 kilometers from Quito. People in the streets of the Ecuadorian capital could see the tower rising to the heavens, growing thicker and stronger before their eyes. Many glowed with pride as the tower project moved toward completion. Some shook their heads, however, speaking in worried whispers about the biblical Tower of Babel. Even in the university, philosophers spoke of man's hubris, while engineers discussed moduli of elasticity. In Quito's high-rise business towers, men and women who dealt in international trade looked forward to the quantum leap that the tower would produce for the Ecuadorian economy. They saw their futures rising as high as the sky and quietly began buying real estate rights to all the land between Quito and the base of the tower. None of them realized that the sky tower would be turned into a killing machine.
Ciudad de Cielo. "It's huge," Lara said as she stepped down from the Humvee. Inwardly, she thought of all the phallic jokes the men must be making about this immense tower. 100 meters across at the base, Bracknell said, heading for the back of the truck where her luggage was stored. The size of a football field. The driver stayed behind his wheel, anxious to get his pay and head back to the airport. "It tapers outward slightly as it rises," Bracknell went on. "The station up at Geosync is a little more than a kilometer across." The numbers were becoming meaningless to her. Everything was so huge. This close, she could see that each of the interwound cables making up the thick column must be a good 5 meters in diameter. And there were cables angling off to the sides, like the roots of a banyan, except that there were buildings where the cables reached the ground. "They must be the tethers that Mance told me about," Lara thought. "Well," he said, grinning proudly as he spread his arms, "this is it. Sky City. Ciudad de Cielo." It was hard to take her eyes off the sky tower, but Lara made the effort and looked around her. At Mance's instruction, the taxi had parked in front of a 2-story building constructed of corrugated metal walls. It reminded her of an airplane hangar or an oversized